This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast to support this show. And let me give a shout out to some of our more recent members who get exclusive bonus episodes and ad-free episodes. They include Chester C., Sunshine, Eric H., David S., Simon, Lobo Ghost, Krista L., Mouse and Spouse, Inconsistently Disappointed in Humanity.
Inconsistently?
Thomas L. and Marcus H. Thank you for your support. I just read the names
The computer tells me to. We appreciate your support.
How you feeling?
So bad. I'm sick. I feel terrible. I want to go back to bed and watch Bob's Burgers.
Excellent.
Let's slam jam through this.
We will slam jam through this. Sure. I actually figured then I would start with some good news, question mark?
I don't like when you end good news with question marks because it always ends up making me mad.
Yeah. Well, so here's the story, and it'll make you feel optimistic for humanity, maybe.
That seems unlikely.
There's a school district in Washington State, the Prosser School District, and during their meeting a couple of weeks ago, one of the board members, his name is Frank Vermulm, he had a suggestion for the board. He said, "Hey, you guys, since everything's perfect and everything's going well, why don't we add Christian prayers to every meeting?
Every meeting?
Why don't we just pray at the start of every meeting?" And then he added, "Oh, by the way, if anyone is interested, I can do it."
I can totally. Oh, if you're looking for somebody.
If you were looking for someone for this idea,
with. Oh, wait, you know what? Yeah. I'm also a Christian. Isn't that a funny coincidence?
I know. So I'm going to play for you just a short clip of him making the suggestion and then offering to be the person to deliver
My skeleton is going to leave my body.
Yeah, have fun listening.
Just something I was going to bring up because we don't get to, all the board members don't get to talk except for here. Just a suggestion that maybe during our meetings that we would open in prayer, like after the pledge. And, you know, I'd be willing to lead it. And I just think there's a lot of things, a lot of issues that we as a school district, a community even, you know, I think there's, we could use some divine intervention.
We could use divine intervention.
Intervention.
Like I said, I would be willing to lead it. So.
Why does
I think that's a great idea.
I think that's a great idea, says another board member.
Why does he sound like he's from Arkansas?
But yeah, like that's just his suggestion. By the way, another board member, a third of I think the five, later suggested, why don't we all take turns saying the prayer? And then the first guy chimes in by saying, you know what? Pastors have already contacted me for this idea I just came up with right now. To ask for the opportunity to pray at these meetings.
Oh, so he wants to bring in outside pastors.
Oh, sure.
So
why not?
It's not just like, let's all pray together,
right?
Which is not good, but it's let's bring in my buddy, John,
right,
who has some cool ideas about evolution while he's here.
First of all of this, obviously, horrible idea.
Wildly inappropriate.
But secondly, you would hope this idea that we could use some divine intervention, you're on a public school board. Your roles only exist because we need people making good decisions based on facts, research, common sense on behalf of students. If divine intervention worked, we wouldn't need you.
Well, I mean, I would argue that I would call divine intervention just like a dude having an idea. Like, that's divine intervention, I guess.
Well,
like,
they'll attribute anything to divine intervention,
what's the difference,
right,
between divine intervention and just, like, having a thought?
According to this guy, no, all thoughts come directly
from
above, right?
But no, but truly, like, if you think you're, you know, worshiping God and inspiring whatever, like, then you have been praying and you do have divine intervention. You're a vessel,
so now
probably.
Vote, right.
So
like,
vote.
Now do your
vote
job.
The way God told you.
And look, if God's direction is so damn important to these people, there's nothing stopping them from praying on the drive to the meeting, praying before the meeting. None of that crossed these people's minds.
Well, that is always a problem I see with these things. It's like, oh, why don't we all pray? Like, sir, nobody's stopping you from praying quietly in your seat before the meeting starts.
Right.
I have been to many restaurants where people pray quietly before they start eating, and like, that's
fine. Don't ask the waitress to do it with you.
No, but I have interrupted many people while they were praying because I thought something was wrong with their meal. So...
But yeah, like, these people just want to impose their faith on everyone else. There's clearly no there's nothing that crossed their minds that suggests anything but Christian prayers would be delivered, which is why I feel comfortable saying these are Christian prayers that they want.
Nobody else in the religious world is that, like, horny to spread their message to everybody, including places where it's inappropriate. Like, truly, again, we do this all the time. But if a Muslim dude walked in and was like, listen, gang, we are going to pray before things. Bring your carpets. Of course they would say no, because it's inappropriate, as is this.
Right. So I said this was a good news story. Where it gets better. After they had that mini conversation we just listened to, the suggestion was shot down, at least verbally, not by a fellow board member, but by two student representatives who were at the board meeting representing their schools.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. One girl's name is Yoshimi Garcia. Another boy's name is Noah Dempsey. You'll hear both of them in a second. Yoshimi's audio is very soft, so forgive me for that. But here's what the students quickly chimed in.
Like immediately after?
Yeah, wow. Like within seconds. And they're like, I don't know if this is a good idea. Here you go.
I think, Yoshimi, do you have a question?
I don't think that religion should be brought into school.
I don't think religion should be brought into school.
I personally am atheist, and I don't think that should.
Yeah, girl.
So I think that there are a lot of people with different religions, and I think that'd be disrespectful.
Holy shit.
I would tend to agree.
This is Noah Dempsey.
I think that should be something that's excluded. I mean, there's already enough controversy when it comes to saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Mm. Why bring more controversy into something that doesn't need it? That'd be my cents on that. Mm-hmm. And I would say that if that was a decision you would want to make, that you would also need to consider bringing in those who would be willing to say a Muslim prayer, a Buddhist prayer, a Catholic prayer, any or all of the above.
Yeah, for inclusivity, you're going to need to have an opening for those things. He didn't mention satanic or atheist invocations, but they would theoretically be in the mix as well.
How old are these kids?
High school kids.
Wow, good for them.
Noah Dempsey actually responded to a post I wrote about this, and he said, I never expected our small interjections to an injustice would reach all these people. To answer a few questions, basically, he said, we're all safe. We're not being forced or pressured off the board. We do have allies on the board as well as in the school administration. He said his fellow representative, the girl you heard first, has chosen to distance herself from this issue following any controversy. We both have strong convictions against religion, presumably in the government.
Sure.
And we both know we did the right thing. So good for him. Mm. I mean, good for both of them. And again, they had the guts to say what none of the adults in the room seemed to understand, that school board meetings are not a substitute for church. It's the board member's job to work for the district and the students, not preach to people who were not asking for it.
Yeah, 100%. And such a good point made with the Pledge of Allegiance thing of like, why do we need to bring this into this? Like, there's no reason we need to bring more controversial bullshit into a school board meeting. Like,
yeah,
who?
Do your job.
Literally pray anywhere all the time. But you can't make other people do it with you, bud. Sorry. Right.
And again, to be clear, the Supreme Court, and I think this is where the board thinks they can get away with it. The Supreme Court, this right-wing court, has already ruled that local governments can allow invocation prayers as long as it's theoretically open to everybody. Mm-hmm. That does not extend to school boards, which are about children, where children could very realistically be present at the meetings. It's a different situation. So the same rules do not apply. I should say, after that meeting, the Freedom From Religion Foundation stepped in and sent a letter to the district reminding them of how unlawful such a move would be.
Good.
And one of the attorneys for FFRF, Chris Line, also reminded the board that a California school district that did the very thing they are trying to do here got slammed in the courts for it. They ultimately had to pay more than $250,000 for dragging out a lawsuit that the board eventually lost. Chris Line wrote, students and parents have the right and often reason to participate in school board meetings. It is coercive, insensitive, and intimidating to force non-religious citizens to choose between making a public showing of their non-belief by refusing to participate in the prayer or else display deference toward a religious sentiment in which they do not believe.
Yeah, that is another good point of like, I think Christians should be the most aware that, like, religion's incredibly personal.
Right.
What should be incredibly personal, and if you are putting somebody on the spot who maybe doesn't want to come out as an atheist or come out as a Christian or as a non-Christian, like, you... Why?
Here's the amazing thing. After Fref sent that letter, and after those two students spoke out, the superintendent of the district wrote a response to FFRF. Okay. I'm going to read you the entire letter. Are you ready for it? This came minutes after FFRF wrote them.
Yeah.
It was quick. Dear Attorney Line and Legal Assistant Langer, both of FFRF, we are in receipt of your letter. We have not taken any action on the matter. It was strictly a discussion. Sincerely, the superintendent.
I mean, that's
fair. We didn't vote on it. Stop attacking us.
That's completely fair on his part.
Yeah, fine. It was a discussion. It was a stupid discussion, but also fine. They seem to be aware that we can't get in trouble if we don't vote on it, and we haven't voted on it. So, like, don't be mad at us. Not yet. We haven't done anything, which, all right, that's fine. But the reason they may not vote on it, and they didn't at that meeting, maybe they will at the next one, if that doesn't happen, if they don't vote on it, it's very likely because two students spoke up and FFRF chimed in to remind them that their job is not to cosplay as preachers, it's to help students.
Yeah, they should be. Those kids should be really proud of themselves. That's outstanding news.
Yeah, fantastic. Let's get to a different story that, it's funny, I started working on this one story and then I realized, wait, I have another story about this. It's the same story in another state. And this happened over and over again this week. But here's the first story I wanted to bring up about this. Republicans in Arizona introduced a bill recently that would just ban satanic displays in public spaces.
That doesn't feel legal.
Doesn't. It
feels aggressively unconstitutional, in fact.
Uh-huh. It comes months after a satanic display that we talked about in the Iowa Capitol. It sent conservatives reeling.
Is that the one that got destroyed?
It's the one that got destroyed. In fact, just last week, the guy who destroyed it was charged with a hate crime because he specifically said, I'm destroying this because I don't like this particular religious group.
Wait. Like, wow.
It wasn't just a vandalism charge. It's a vandalism charge with, like, a hate crime addition.
Is this the... I'm curious if people know.
I don't remember if hate crime has been applied to things like this in the past.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're on the same page as me. I'm very curious if anybody else knows of it, because this seems unprecedented.
Yeah, usually they just destroy atheist displays.
Yeah, and
just,
then say, and you, like, don't know who it is.
Right. This guy was so adamant about broadcasting why he was doing it that it's very easy to say he's charged with a hate crime. Anyway, that's not even the story here.
Oh.
But that Iowa Capitol display got so much attention that these Arizona Republicans are like, well, we don't want that happening here, where we've had run-ins with Satanists.
What's with Arizona?
Oh, man, so many
things.
Like,
what is with it? Like, New Mexico's pretty chill. What's going on with you, Arizona?
I think it's the desert. It doesn't.
It could
be. The heat.
Oh, yeah, because New Mexico is famously temperate.
Cold. It's Antarctica there. So this is Senate Bill 1279. It is called the Respect Act. And that stands for, are you ready for this?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Yeah. Find out what it means to you, me.
Right. Reject escalating Satanism by preserving essential core traditions. They tried so hard to slam words into there. They had Satanism for the S. And they're like, what else can
build
we
around
do?
It.
And they
this built reminds around me. It. A lot of the FFRF from last week. What did they call themselves? Like Freedom Flag?
Oh, yeah. There was a student group that was deciding what religious flag or non-religious flag to put outside their school building, and they called themselves FFRF, ha, 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 and they couldn't think of a good way to, what does that stand for? So
and
they
it was
just made
word
up
salad.
Yeah.
It was like freedom of flag respectfully flying or something like that. Like, what?
Yep. So here's the whole
all week.
Here's the whole bill, besides telling us what respect means. It's literally, there's three parts to the bill. It's copied and pasted over and over because they're saying we're going to add a couple lines to different parts of our state code. But all the lines basically say this: satanic memorials, statues, altars, or displays, or any other method of representing or honoring Satan.
Ooh, cover your bases there, bud.
May not be displayed on public property in this state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I had a reporter call me this week And she pointed out something that I didn't even recognize at first. I knew the guy who sponsored this bill is a Republican in the state. A first-term state senator.
Oh.
In the Arizona Senate. His name is Jay Kaufman. He used to be a member of the state house. Mm. He's most infamous for being one of Arizona's fake electors for Trump back in 2020.
Oh,
so, like, I knew this guy is like a MAGA cultist sort. What she told me, the reporter is like, oh no, he runs the Freedom Caucus, which is hilarious because they're all about freedom.
What do you think freedom means, sir?
Except for actual freedom. So he's joined in this bill by a dozen other Republican co-sponsors who don't seem to understand that the Establishment Clause doesn't allow them to exclude one particular religious icon just because they disagree with whatever they think it represents.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if we know anything about satanic monuments, at least the kind that the Satanic Temple has been putting up,
sure.
One, they only go up when there's a Christian monument already mm-hmm. in place. But two, they don't believe in Satan. So what are you so afraid of?
Yep.
In Arkansas right now, Jason Raper, the guy who used to be in the state legislature, there is an ongoing lawsuit involving Satanists who sued after guys like him rejected their statue of Baphomet because there was a Ten Commandments display on Capitol grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Satanic Temple doesn't act unless there's Christian precedent, mm-hmm. and then they want to play by the same rules.
Yeah.
But by singling out one religious group's monuments or displays for exclusion,
it's so embarrassing.
Presumably when all other faiths would be allowed,
right.
This bill, if it passes, it would almost certainly trigger a lawsuit.
Of course. Of course.
And also, going back to the respect title for a second, what is escalating Satanism? Because if we look at the Satanic Temple's code, what are we afraid of? Compassion and empathy? Because that's what their statement reads. These are our fundamental tenets.
Well, the reality of the situation is that the Satanic Temple is doing exactly what they're supposed to be and doing what the Flying Spaghetti Monster never could have gotten done, which was 10, 15 years ago, sort of the same version of, like, kind of trolling Christians of, like, oh, I believe in a Flying Spaghetti Monster. You have to teach this, too.
Mm-hmm. If it's my sincerely held conviction,
mm-hmm.
then I get to play by your rules.
And that was a way to point out hypocrisy in, you know, religious laws
and to be clear,
like
there is a difference. The Satanic Temple does have IRS designation as a religious group.
That's what I was going to say, is that, like, the Satanic Temple has been able to escalate this to a point that it is making its point much better than I think the Spaghetti Monster ever could have, because Satan is somebody who is recognizable in the Christian community, and it's just incredibly easy to, like, trigger these Christians into panicking and then suddenly have to learn a really hard lesson about the freedom of religion.
Yeah. Also, the respect title, what essential core traditions are Arizona Republicans trying to preserve? I assume they involve religious supremacy, Christian supremacy, but they don't say. I feel like that's a good question for a reporter to ask. Like, so what are you trying to preserve that you're so afraid of? They don't say in the bill anywhere. Sometimes they include definitions in bills. This one does not include any definitions of anything.
Like definition of respect or like escalating.
Here's what Satanism means.
Got
here's
you.
What
oh,
tradition,
I see.
Whatever. The terms we are using
so
in this
bill. So
it's
just fast and loose.
Yeah. I mean, Bill's, here's the thing. I'm not afraid this is going to get passed. Arizona has a Democratic governor. She's not going to sign off on this. Bills like this, though, they're not introduced because there's any chance of them passing. They're introduced to placate conservative Christians who fantasize about living in a theocracy.
Mm-hmm.
They're a reminder that Christians like Hoffman here believe they are superior to everyone who doesn't share their faith.
Mm-hmm.
They intend to use the government to codify that into law.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Lucian Greaves, the co-founder of the Satanic Temple, so what do you think of this, you know, ridiculous bill?
Mm.
He called it frightening. He said, quote, not because I worry that it'll pass, but because it has no hope of passing and is so flagrantly unconstitutional that it demonstrates the most horrific incompetence of its every signatory from the Arizona Senate.
Yeah, that's well put.
For an actual senator to write and or sign such a hopelessly illegal, petty, and futile bill is to announce utter and complete ignorance as mm-hmm. to the function of their office and total disregard for the services they are expected to perform as public representatives.
This feels very similar to me of the trigger laws that happened when Roe v. Wade fell. Of everybody had these, like, kind of slapdash laws put together that were, as soon as they went into effect, all of a sudden everyone was like, oh, these are unenforceable, unclear.
like no abortions for anybody ever. It's like, well, what about, and they didn't intend for those to go into effect, but as soon as Roe fell, they are in effect, and it's like, well, then what about a miscarriage?
And then everybody's scrambling to understand what this vague and scary law means. This feels very, very similar.
Their attempt to make a statement through the law backfired, and now they're trying to put bandages everywhere.
Exactly.
The interesting thing about this bill in Arizona, they had a committee meeting, the Committee on Government, met on Wednesday morning. I think there are six members of the committee that who were there. One of them was Senator Juan Mendez, who was openly atheist and fantastic. And he was the one person who raised many of the points we were raising here. Like, what is it that you're afraid of? What do you think is going to happen? What about the unconstitutionality of it?
Yeah.
The Arizona GOP put out a tweet earlier. Well, they put out a tweet on Wednesday saying, this Democrat wants to support Satanists.
Yeah, it's like, that's right. You got it.
Yeah. What are you afraid of? Compassion? Empathy? Which of those do you not like? So there was one voice of reason in the mix.
But
the
other will. It's a whole of the law.
The other Republicans in the committee passed it out of committee. So it's not dead yet. It's still going.
It's so embarrassing. This is going to be a...
It should be embarrassing. But compared to all the embarrassing things the Republicans have done, this is probably low on the totem pole there.
True.
So I said there are multiple stories just like this. Well, guess what? Republicans in Iowa.
Iowa?
Republicans in Iowa are doing basically the same thing here.
Iowa's such a strange state. Weren't they the first state to pass gay marriage? Or like early on in gay marriage?
It's been too long.
Yeah.
My mind has been deleted before 2016.
That state.
Yeah. So this comes days after Arizona did it. But now on Monday of this week, state senator, wait for it, Sandy Salmon.
Yep.
She introduced a bill.
S-A-L-M-O-N?
You got it.
Wow.
She introduced a bill that would ban satanic displays or the practice of Satanism on state property. And at least it makes sense in Iowa because they had that display.
Right.
But this one goes broader.
Sure, you gotta.
Her bill is much longer in length, and it's worth discussing in some depth because it's stupid from the beginning,
sure.
And it's glorious. This one isn't just an attack on religion, because, of course, groups like the Satanic Temple do not actually worship Satan. This one goes after groups that reference Satan or Satanism and calls on the government to pick a side. Okay, we're going to go through this. I know what you're thinking. We're going to get back to it. But let's talk about this bill.
There's no way you know what I'm thinking.
Oh, I know everything you're thinking. All right. It has like seven parts to it, all right?
Christ,
part one, the state or any political subdivision of the state shall not recognize organizations or individuals who refer to Satan as a deity, worship Satan, or reference Satan or Satanism as part of the organization's or individual's religious practice as an establishment of religion.
Isn't Satan a deity in the Bible?
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go.
I read the Bible.
Who references Satan? Christian preachers.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, if you reference Satan and that's part of your religious practice, the state can't recognize you. I think she just banned Christianity as being recognized by the state.
This is very like book banning accidentally bans the Bible. Feels very similar.
I don't think she thought this through.
Oh, you don't think they thought this through? That's so strange because they usually have so much thinking through.
Yeah, but even if, I mean, Christians believe Satan is a fallen angel. They make constant references to the devil. No one believes in Satan more than white evangelical Christians. And Christians believe in Satan far more than the Satanic Temple does because they don't.
Yeah.
But obviously.
Yeah. I mean, also, Satan's a pretty sympathetic character in the Bible, if you ask me. His only fault was not wanting to be blindly obedient to...
I forgot the number. I mean, he only killed 10 people in the Bible. God kills well over a million.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Who does Satan kill? I should read it again.
A handful of people, and I think God made him do it. So, but again, even if you put aside the Christian,
I mean, God
oopsie,
killed his literal son, so I don't think like homicide.
And
is
God tried
his,
to get
oh,
another
no,
guy
no,
to kill his literal son.
Oh,
yeah,
I
it goes on for
about
a while.
That.
But this gets
Guys,
to the heart.
Don't kill your son. Can that
try
just be a,
really hard not to?
Try really hard not to kill your sons.
That one's not one of the commandments.
I know it should be. Honor thy father, thy mother.
I mean, thou shalt
don't
not kill, but it doesn't get specific.
No, it doesn't.
So this gets to the heart of religious freedom, though. The government is forbidden from restricting rights from people on the basis of their faith. That applies to Satanists, atheists, Muslims, and Christians. You can't tell the government, well, yeah, but that's an exception to the rule of discrimination.
Well, the thing is, they don't understand that freedom of religion means their freedom as well. And they just think that anybody who wants to, like, be careful about where we're spreading religion is, like, personally attacking them, which, like, you know, I have depression. I think everybody's mad at me all the time, but these guys really take it to another level, huh?
They try so hard.
So hard.
Part two of the bill. Displays, symbols, or the practice of satanic worship shall not be allowed on public property, in public schools, on property owned by public schools, or on any property owned by the state.
I'd better not see any five-pointed stars at that fucking Capitol this Christmas, because I swear to God, Satan is there.
Right?
Five-pointed stars is his thing? Upside down? Yeah, it's like the goat.
Sure.
Oh my God, you don't know anything cool.
Nothing. Since no one's clamoring for satanic worship in public schools, I think the intention here is to stop after-school Satan clubs that have popped up in reference to Christian Good News clubs, because, I repeat, the Satanic Temple only forms those clubs in elementary schools where Christian clubs already exist. You can't allow one without the other. That's the whole point. So if this passed, that would be a lawsuit in the making. And guess what? Those groups also don't worship Satan.
Yeah.
Number three in her bill.
Oh, God.
Any act of satanic practice or worship that involves the ending of a life or the shedding of blood, whether the sacrifice be an animal or human, is prohibited.
I feel like we already have laws on the books that say you can't sacrifice children. I don't think we need to introduce a new law.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the...
Or if I'm being frank, goats. I don't think anybody is like...
I'm trying
like
to remember...
Like killing lambs for their ritual. What is he talking about?
That's in the Bible. It's not what Satanists are
doing,
though.
I mean, that's
though.
Fair.
But again, fine. If you want to ban animal and human sacrifices, I'm all for it. Like you said, though,
again,
already in the law.
Not anti-murder. I want to be... I am anti-murder. I'm not... Shut up, Jessica.
Yes, please clarify.
No,
please clarify your stance on the murders.
I don't think murders should do. I'm so tired.
It's all right. But again, this is... I think where you might... Why would she put this in here? I think it's because the Satanic Temple has argued that they have a religious abortion ritual and that banning abortion violates their religious freedom. So if you're saying you can't end a life or shed any blood,
yeah.
I wonder if she thinks this can be used to protect fetuses somehow. Mm. I don't know if that's where she's going with it by pretending fetuses are like humans or something, but that thought.
That's fine.
And then, of course, there's no penalty listed in the bill for anyone who violates these rules, but it says anyone who violates these laws, if this bill is passed, is subject to a criminal, it would be a criminal offense, subject to prosecution under the state of the law. She wants to make it a crime to practice Satanism, however it's defined, in public spaces.
I mean, I know I bring this up a lot, but it really kind of chaps my ass when Christians are so on and on about these, like, hypothetical, I heard that people are sacrificing children thing and we need to protect them, yada, yada, yada. And then every time a youth pastor comes out and has been molesting kids, or a Catholic priest is out and is molesting kids, they're like, no, that's fine. One bad apple. Like, their desire to tilt at windmills instead of actually solve real problems that are really happening is obnoxious.
So there's another part of the bill. This is the last bit of it, second page, basically. And this time, there's no new rules. It's just Christian nationalism in writing. So the first bit says, the General Assembly finds that the Constitution of the State of Iowa acknowledges the supreme being to whom we owe gratitude for blessings received and upon whom we depend for future blessings.
It's wild that Iowa is going on about their blessings from God, because they've been having a rough couple of years.
And also, why do you need that in a law? What do you... What?
To what end?
The Iowa Constitution does make a reference to a, quote, supreme being in the preamble of their Constitution, just like every document did hundreds of years ago. But there's literally nothing about God in the actual document, just like the U.S. Constitution.
Oh my God.
And both of them are very explicit about the separation of church and state. In fact, the Iowa Constitution says the General Assembly shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Copy-paste from the U.S. Constitution. So that's messed up. She thinks the common rhetoric of the time establishes her religion as the official position of the government. Then there is a long section in which she says, The General Assembly finds there's a wide range of differing views among citizens regarding which establishment of religion or religions represent the one supreme being upon which we depend. Mm-hmm. Yada, yada, yada. But we're not granting any favored status to any establishment of religion. We're not saying it's Christianity, mm-hmm. she explicitly says. Mm. We're just saying...
But we want to be clear.
There's a supreme being.
And
monotheism counts, apparently. Monotheism, she's saying, is the official position of the state of Iowa, which also is an establishment of religion.
Yeah, bad news for Hindus, eh?
Yeah, right? She suggests belief in God, if not a particular label, is the default in Iowa, and that is just as egregious a statement.
It's so obnoxious.
So, yeah.
Like, truly, it's like they've never left their town. They're like, well, everybody thinks exactly like I think.
I know, when
like,
you live in a bubble, truly, life must be
and like,
so nice.
Iowa has some really good schools. It's not like it's like this rambling, there's no intellectuals, everybody leave. Like, Iowa's a good, like, University of Iowa is a great school. Like,
right.
What are you guys doing? You make yourselves look so dumb.
And then the last part of the bill.
Oh,
the General
more.
Assembly finds that good and evil exist. It is the duty of the government to play an appropriate role in protecting the inhabitant residents of Iowa from evil while encouraging and facilitating good.
As soon as somebody uses the word evil in a kind of, in a way like this, it just sends.
And I know you're thinking,
so
are there definitions in this bill? No, no definitions of what good is, what evil is.
Because evil is just such an ephemeral thing of like, you know, like a person, is a person evil? Are their actions evil? I think evil is just too loaded a term
of
to
course.
Pretend that like there's any definition.
And
because
the whole
I think
point.
This bill is evil, so it's stupid on
right.
its face.
This is the whole thing about taking positions on policies. Like, what about someone who has an abortion? Mm. Is abortion good or evil? Same-sex marriage, good or evil? Guns, good or evil?
Evil.
Elected officials are constantly debating what policies are doing to promote good or evil. But to say God is good and Satan is evil ignores every horrible thing God does in the Bible. Not that I love to quote Richard Dawkins here, but this is a fair quote. The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully, unquote. I mean, he had some good ones.
Yeah, there's some good ones in there.
The people of Iowa, though.
What's filicide? Is it kings?
Horses? I don't know.
That would be equicide, idiot.
I don't do stuff, daughter or son.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, I don't know that one.
So the point is, though, like, if you're doing all that stuff, if you're saying that's the good part.
Regicide is queen.
There you go. If you're promoting goodness, I mean, you got to define that somehow. You can't just say the word and assume we all know what you're talking about. And again, if you're saying Satan is evil, what are you talking about? Is it the type of Satanism practiced by the Satanic Temple, which
right.
is clearly what you're going after?
Because
if you look at their ethics, at their stated seven fundamental tenets, those seem pretty good. So, I mean, ultimately, there is one more section basically saying the General Assembly finds that all people have freedom of conscience. We're not recommending Satanism. We're just saying, you know, anyone can practice satanic worship at home if you want to, but the government shouldn't be allowing you to use public space.
Yeah, it's wild. I kind of think that about religion.
You would think. And again, if that's meant to be a breadcrumb, it's still useless because we already know people can practice or believe whatever they want in the privacy of their own home.
When you say breadcrumb, I don't think I understand what you meant.
Like, if you want to say, look, I'll give you some. You could still be a Satanist.
Gotcha.
At first, you just can't do it on public property.
Sure.
But treating one religious group differently from all the other ones, that's not just illegal. It's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
Government should not be playing that game.
Yeah,
so,
it's bad news.
Again, the real problem here, I think she thinks the real problem is that Satanists requested a display at the Iowa Capitol over the winter.
Mm.
And she thinks, you know, not
no more.
Instead of going after the bigots like the vandal who the guy who vandalized it, she's trying to punish the people whose religious views are
God,
different
Heaven,
from her own.
What a good point. It's like truly like, oh, I got robbed. We're going to make it illegal to be in public with things that you can rob with like, or be robbed by. Like, sure, it's why just not? Stupid.
Right. Go after the actual problems here.
Oh, what a good point.
Incidentally, she's also a MAGA cultist and conspiracy theorist who tried to overturn the 2020 election. To be clear, I don't think Republicans in Iowa are going to pass this bill since it's so stupidly illegal and dead on arrival in any court. But again, you don't file these bills because you think you'll get them passed into law. You file them to send a message that, hey, Christian extremists, I'm on your side.
It's so funny to me that there's still literal laws on many states' books that say atheists can't hold office. And literally last week we talked about how nobody has the political capital to go after those. And yet Christians have the political capital to be the, to just make the dumbest, most pointless decisions to, like, it's so, what are you doing, people?
Yep. Why are you doing it? What are you doing? You don't need to do this, but you've chosen to do this. It's a horrible idea. And okay, I figured let's take a break from all that. We'll talk about something totally different for a second. A recent Gallup poll, this was surprising to me a little bit. There was a Gallup poll that asked people, do you think these professions have, you know, high? What do you think about their honesty and ethical standards? Do you think would you rank them very high, high, low, very low?
Where does Podcaster fall?
Podcaster is at negative 17%.
Oh, you hate to hear it.
I know. And so everyone seems to be lower on the list these days. But what's surprising here is that trust in religious leaders is at an all-time low.
In
1985, Americans, 67% of Americans said clergy members have high or very high honesty and ethical standards. Today, that number is at 32%.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's less.
Only 32% of Americans say, like, yeah, if all I knew about someone is that they're a member of the clergy, I trust that they're ethical, good people.
And what's the percentage of people who are Christian? Like, I would just love to know.
Yeah,
so it's 60% of Christians and only 40% of people believe that priests are to be trusted? There's something wrong with the numbers. Yeah.
Who do you think ranked highest in terms of professions, in terms of ethics and honesty? Which profession got the highest ranks?
And this is everybody's poll, not
everybody's
just conservative.
Everybody's poll, that's correct. And this is a third time in a row this group has been ranked number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Third time in a row. I mean, so my gut is like teachers and doctors, but those have taken somewhat of a hit in the last 5 years.
Sure, yeah.
And priests, obviously, not doing great.
Right.
Police, not doing great. Nurses?
You win. It is nurses at 78%.
I'm genuinely really proud of myself.
Yeah, nurses, 78%. Engineers were at 60%, because again, it's like, why would you be mad at them?
Yeah.
Dentists fared well. Medical doctors fared well. I mean, by well, I mean above 50%. Pharmacists were up there. Cops took the top spot of the minorities. 45%. Fewer than half.
Oh,
but close to half.
More than I would think.
More, yeah. And clergy has dropped 8 points since 2019, and they're at 32%. Lowest on the list at 6%?
Politicians?
Members of Congress specifically.
Oh.
Senators were at 8%, a little
better.
This
cold medication is making me smarter.
I know. Governors did better than that. Union leaders did better than governors at 25%.
I wish I'd had a list to look at.
Anyway,
I wouldn't have come up with union leaders on my own.
But yeah, like, look, politicians, journalists, pharmacists, they get less trust than ever before, sometimes with good reason.
You guys should really trust your pharmacists. I've been writing a lot about them.
They're
a really important member of the medical community. And a lot of places you need a doctorate to be a pharmacist. It's called a PharmD.
There you go. But, like, the clergy number has to sting because those other professions, I mean, you would hope they are doing a good job and people like them, but those other professions aren't founded on the idea that everyone in it is, like, a moral leader.
Right.
So why is this happening? Christianity Today pointed out that Americans are also less likely than ever to know a pastor, with fewer than half belonging to a church, and there are more Americans than ever who don't identify with a religious faith at all. But also, I don't know that that explains a lot, because, like, I don't know a ton of nurses, dentists, and veterinarians who fared very high on this ethics and honesty scale.
Sure.
But also, I know the gist of them, and I generally trust them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they have high ethical standards as a default in general. But clergy, even if you don't personally know one, you have good reason not to trust them unless you know more.
I've watched the news.
I know. If you turn on, I mean, there are scandals. There are clergy sex abuse scandals.
Constantly.
There are the politicization of churches where they are just wings of the Republican Party.
I want to say one time I text Hemant a story about a pastor getting arrested for like abusing children or something like that. And Hemant's response was, "That happens so much, I don't even cover it anymore."
It's true.
It's like, he literally was like, yeah, this happens every day. I had to weed out.
Yeah, what's special about this one?
Which is fucked, but also, like, such a sign of the times. And, like, surprise, surprise, when all of the Jeffrey Epstein people got named, it's like, oh, not a lot of drag queens or or teachers, mostly just rich, powerful people who abuse. Cool.
So in addition to the fact that when you hear about a clergy member in the news, it's probably because of something mega-ish they said or a sex abuse thing, evangelicals still have their anti-moral positions on everything.
Right.
So all of that, why would you trust someone who has such bad ideas about obvious things?
Well,
and that goes beyond just you're wrong about the most core part of your belief.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And like when you talk about morals, like, in a religion, you make up your own morals. So, like, whether or not you're moral, if your morals are reject trans people and you're, like, quote-unquote moral, that's what makes you a bad person.
Yeah, and even if you talk about pastors who have not behaved badly and done all these horrific things, many of them still hold beliefs that are untrue, harmful, bigoted. I mean, the biggest denominations in America, Southern Baptists, Catholics, they have failed to deal with their sexual abuse scandals and crises. The most powerful, the ever powerful, I should say, white evangelical political bloc, voting bloc, they continue to carry water for the most corrupt presidential candidate in history while ignoring his dictatorial fantasies. Purity culture, patriarchal thinking are still popular among younger conservative Christians. So, like, if you're looking for ethics and morals, you shouldn't start your search at a local church.
Yes.
You know? Correct. That should not be your starting point.
You should give us a call.
Right. Interestingly enough, college graduates, I was surprised by this, they were more trusting of clergy members than non-graduates, 38% to 29%.
I don't know what to do with that information. I know. That's very counterintuitive.
That was surprising. Republicans and Democrats felt the same about the clergy. That was also surprising to me. Like, Republicans may not trust them, but also they need them. So they stick by their side. But also, deep down, they're like, well, I don't trust these people.
That's not great.
I don't think they're ethical. There's other polling
that
says...
We're all after power. They're just doing it different than me.
There is other polling that suggests that even if they have low ethics ratings, people treat priests just like they treat their members of Congress. Like, I trust mine. I don't trust the job in general.
Sure. That makes sense.
You hate Congress, but you like your own representative.
Yeah, that's one of the things that people talk about. Everyone hates Congress, but the re-election rate in Congress is astronomical, and it's because of that exact reason. Like, oh, I like my congressperson. Everybody else is a bad guy.
I don't know if the profession can do anything to regain trust. I don't know how you reimagine the profession when the largest denomination's core beliefs involve all the same broken ideas that led people to walk away from organized religion in the first place.
Yeah, and they're not adapting in the way they needed to. They've kind of missed that boat because now at this point, if they do kind of come around, it's very obviously because their numbers were down on their own beliefs and they need to play out some new beliefs to see how they can get those coffers full.
Yeah, if I think about who do I think has high integrity, ethics, and things like that, it's yes, you, clearly. It's like people speaking truth to power. We're talking like labor leaders, very progressive.
It's those kids in their fucking school.
Yes.
Those are brave kids who are doing the right thing.
Yes, it's, you know, politicians who are willing, even Democrats willing to say, no, my party's wrong on this and we need to be better. Like, those are people I look to for moral clarity. It's not automatically someone with reverend in front of their name. One upside for pastors in all of this, and this is how Christianity Today put it, positive perceptions of clergy among young people jumped by 10% compared to 2022. Like, more young people like them now, like clergy members now, than before.
What
maybe
is young
that's
people?
A sign
is it
of hope.
Children or is it young adults?
I think under 30.
Huh.
Yeah, so that could
that's
be a sign
weird.
Of hope for the profession, or it could be ignorance about how harmful pastors are.
People aren't paying attention to the news.
Yeah, maybe it's a large percentage because of a smaller sample size. I don't know. That's worth keeping an eye on. But, like, the overall trend, though, it's not very promising if you're a clergy member.
That's too bad. Not
too
bad.
Bad
it's good.
For them. Yeah, good for everyone who's been saying all this forever.
Right.
Let's talk about the other bill that's being passed in multiple states now. And this has to do with Christian chaplains in public schools.
Oh.
We talked about this a while ago because Texas not just proposed a bill to put chaplains in schools, they passed it. They enacted that thing. That's a law now in Texas where school districts have the ability to hire untrained religious chaplains to replace trained professionals.
And this policy was roundly rejected by chaplains.
By religious chaplains.
By chaplains.
Yeah,
they were like, can't do this.
They are literally begging districts not to go through with it.
Have you ever dealt with a crying teenager? It's fucking impossible.
Every day.
Yeah. Well, you make them cry. That doesn't feel like the same.
Yeah. So critics have been saying for a while now, this is obviously nothing more than a way to shove Christianity into public schools.
Right.
The defenders of these chaplaincy bills say it's a way to improve students' mental health at a time when schools are understaffed when it comes to social workers and counselors.
Why are they understaffed, Texas?
Yes. Why are they understaffed? Texas has a budget surplus.
You're fucking lying to me.
And
right
they
now.
Are not using any of that to train and hide. I don't know, give back money to rich people and not fix their power grid. So inviting chaplains into schools, according to one advocacy group, would give kids a solid spiritual foundation and a safe space to express their pains and frustrations.
I thought you didn't like safe spaces.
Uh-huh. But what was interesting is recently the architect of the Texas chaplain law, which is Senator Mays Middleton.
Whoa.
Yep. He looks 12.
Mays?
Mays.
M-A-Z-E?
M-A-Y-E-S.
That makes more sense.
He appeared on the Wall Builder Show, which is a podcast hosted by pseudo-historian
David Barton,
his son Tim Barton, and another guy, a self-described constitutional coach, Rick Green.
Coach?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. He tells you how the Constitution ought to be interpreted. But Mays Middleton, during that interview, he basically admitted that the critics were right about all this. He said, and I quote, our U.S. Supreme Court, thanks to President Trump's appointments, made it possible for us to go win some of these fights and put God back in government. Mm-hmm. He later said, chaplains represent God in government. These atheist groups out of Washington, D.C. oppose chaplains in schools, but their legal arguments are now totally meritless and they won't win if they try.
Cool.
Yeah. He added that his legislation.
Fun touchdown dance he's doing.
His legislation also required Texas districts to vote on whether or not they wanted to allow chaplains in schools because he wanted them on the record.
Like the individual.
In case the districts,
okay.
He made them take a vote. Do you want chaplains in schools? Because if they said no, he wanted them to be voted out, and he wanted to give people a reason for them to be voted out.
Cool.
But it's
he
not
seems great.
It's not even a choice, because he said in the same interview that if they vote against it, like, we don't want chaplains in our schools, he said litigation could follow. He said, quote,
excuse me.
Yeah. He said, I know one district that's very close that actually voted to ban chaplains, which, wow, honestly, that's probably a larger risk for litigation, because in that case, you're prohibiting, for example, a teacher or administrator or somebody at the district from seeing someone based solely on their religious beliefs. And everything you just said was ridiculous, because
what
one,
the fuck does that mean? That
one,
means nothing.
There are not a slew of atheist organizations in D.C. They do not have power. So that's one thing.
Or
second thing. No church-state separation group, no atheist group, would ever prevent a staffer or student from seeing a chaplain who shares their religious views.
Yeah.
They can always do that at church. Mm-hmm. What they can't do and shouldn't be allowed to do is use government resources to advance a religious agenda. And so to say, like, yeah, we gave these districts a choice of whether they want chaplains, he's lying about that, because he's literally saying, no, it's not a choice, because if you say no, we're coming after you. You could be sued
it's a
over it.
Death or cake situation.
Yeah. He also said schools have been worse off since, quote, prayer was taken out of our public schools in the 1960s.
I think schools have been
it
worse
was
off
not.
Since
Since they stopped funding schools.
That too. But again, prayer was never taken out of public schools. Well, he's lying about that.
I mean, I don't think that's a necessarily fair thing. Like, yes, they did decide that
forced prayer is taken out of schools. But if a kid wants to pray in school, no one's stopping you.
Of course, I just want to make sure we're being intellectually honest.
We are.
They are not.
We are. This dude never is. This guy, by the way, Mays Middleton, has also filed bills to bring Bible reading to public schools and do away with church-state separation. And he's practically just admitting, yeah, we want God in school, so let's do it through the chaplains. There's nothing wrong with that.
I hate this timeline.
Uh-huh. And then, wait, here's the next part of this. In Iowa, they decided, you know what we should do? Be more like Texas. They advanced a bill to bring untrained chaplains to schools. And, like, in Iowa...
Are Iowa and Texas having an affair? What is going on here?
It's same sex, and it's weird.
So weird.
When they do it.
Yeah.
It would allow school boards, the Iowa bill, would allow school boards to hire volunteer chaplains, quote, to provide support, services, and programs for students. They don't need any kind of license. They don't need any endorsement. As long as they pass a background check and wear a hat with the word chaplain on it, they can have access to kids.
Which part was your addition?
All right, there's nothing about a hat in the bill.
Okay.
But it applies.
I mean, it is very scary because I truly, like, I thought these people were all about protecting children. You're having people with no training just, like, get in there and mess with them?
If you say you're a chaplain and there's nothing that says you have to do this to be a chaplain, anyone could do it. You just have to pass a background check. The person who filed this bill, her name is Helena Hayes. She even kind of made a Freudian slip when she was pushing for the bill's passage, because what she said in discussion during a small committee hearing, this bill is about ministers in the workplace. To which...
What?
She's basically saying, I want ministers in the workplace. She's like, ministers, not chaplains, she even said.
Why is she just so fucking horny to get ministers
everywhere? They all
are.
And Sarah Trone Garriott, who is a Democrat in the Iowa legislature, she's a state senator. She also happens to be a minister. She's also a former chaplain. She's also awesome. She was the person who chimed in to say, the author of this bill referred to the practitioners in this bill as ministers, which is specifically a Christian and Protestant Christian term. Mm. It seems to be the intent of this bill is to use the resources and institutions of the state to promote a particular religious community or religious content during the required hours of our children's education, which is a very long way of saying, I caught you. Mm. I know what you're doing here. Stop it.
Well, these are very much Schrodinger's parents because they, like, on one hand, they're like, don't teach our kids about sex in school. We'll take care of that. That's not your business to do. It should be in the home. But when it comes to religion, they're like, we're not doing enough at home.
We cannot allow you. We can't allow you to handle religion at home. Yeah. Let us take care of it.
It's so, guys, come on.
One lobbyist, because they have a lot of advocates speaking out for and against this bill, and they have space to do that. One person, his name is Keenan Crow, he chimed in during the advocacy bit against the bill, but he made it clear that, you know, if you pass this bill and you don't define who a chaplain is, you know what that opens the door to. He says, guess who has a very robust chaplaincy program?
The Satanic Temple
does. And guess who's been using it in a number of different ways, including at the U.S. Naval Academy? The Satanic Temple has. I did not know that. I'm curious about
that. Good for them.
But he added, if we want Satanic Temple chaplains in our schools, this is the way to get them.
Wow.
And to be clear, there are Satanic chaplains. I don't know that they've done anything with that. I'm curious about that. There are, though, humanist chaplains, very much so. Mm. And they've actually been basically barred from the military.
That's right.
But, like, church-state separation groups have repeatedly acknowledged the importance of having trained counselors and social workers. They're not the ones itching to get their chaplains in schools. They're saying, no, man, just use government funding and hire trained professionals who do this. I did ask the Satanic Temple, would you take advantage of this opportunity if this bill passes? To which they responded, quote, we are interested.
Nice.
I don't know if that'll change anything, but these people will do anything to get Jesus in schools. I don't think any of this would stop them.
Such a strange goal to me.
Man.
Especially when you look at, like, the global marketplace. Like, it's insanity. They're trying to make American kids dumber. To what end?
Hey, dumber people vote for Republicans. That's, I assume, their game theory here.
Okay.
That's my theory anyway. One last story, which is the same story, but they're also now trying to do this in Florida.
God.
Same thing, joining the affair between Iowa and Texas.
Oh.
The bill in Florida this time.
Florida's a lady.
This is actually a little looser than Iowa. This bill would give public school districts permission to adopt a policy to let them bring on volunteer school chaplains.
Wait, furthermore, are they all volunteers?
They would all be volunteers. None of these people would be paid.
Even in the Texas laws?
In the Texas laws. Yeah. Because they have no qualifications. What are you paying them for? Parents in Florida, the bill says, parents would be informed about the religious affiliations of those chaplains, which I assume that just means you'll get a sheet of paper that has all the names and Christian next to it.
Yeah.
And the parents would have to give permission for their children to see these chaplains, and all the chaplains would have to pass a background check. All that's fine. But like, again, why are we doing this? They're doing this because they want chaplains in schools to do the work that social workers and counselors ought to be doing and would be doing if Florida had them. By the way, I looked this up. According to the National Association of School Psychologists, there is one psychologist for every 1,828 Florida students. That is more than three times the number of students than the recommended ratio. So they have a lack of qualified, trained workers in Florida to handle the caseload. Mm. And what are Florida lawmakers doing? By the way, Florida also has a budget surplus. What are they doing?
They
are not training. They are not hiring new social workers and counselors. They are saying, what if we let Christians just do the job for them? Because, like, we know what causes every act of depression by a child, Satan. So why don't we just have our people take care of it? And better yet, what hurdles do you need to overcome to be a chaplain in a public school? Nothing. There's no ordination required. You just have to have the hat with the word chaplain on it. Mm-hmm. I assume that is in the bill. I don't know.
I mean, now that I think about it, I actually have a tag that says chaplain on it because I'm ordained.
Slap it on your shirt. Walk into a school.
I have a parking pass somewhere.
Oh.
I should use that much more. Just park in front of Target. Hello.
The Republican who sponsored this bill in the state Senate. Her name is Erin Grawl. She's also one of the vehemently anti-abortion lawmakers. I think she's the one who sponsored the bill to drop the abortion law in Florida from, like, you can have it after 15 weeks to you can only have it after 6 weeks.
Fuck you.
Yes. So this is the person we're talking about. She actually embraced the idea that these volunteer chaplains would replace trained professionals.
Mm.
She said, I view this as an alternative to mental health counselors. I mean, what about the suggestion that chaplains could give students bad advice because they don't know what they're doing? She said, what happens when our children receive the wrong advice from a mental health counselor?
What are you talking about? As opposed to...
I don't know. Teachers make mistakes, therefore let's replace them with pastors. It's the same argument. Like, humans make mistakes. No one's saying they're perfect.
Mm.
But trained counselors...
Christians think they're perfect.
The fact that they're trained help them make fewer mistakes.
Yeah.
And
and not even fewer mistakes, but
there's
fewer...
accountability.
Yeah. And, I mean... God knows. Have you ever, like, had a conversation with somebody who just read, like, a new self-help book and that's all they're talking about and thinking about? Like, this is the future for our students.
Right. I mean, in Texas, where we talked about where a similar bill has become law, religious chaplains are literally begging districts not to go through with it because they understand that if you want to see kids thrive, then throwing faith-based services at them by way of untrained people is not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, anyone... in all these states can already see religious chaplains. Just go to church. American Atheists...
Or send your kid to a Christian school if that's important to
you. Yeah. American Atheists Florida Assistant State Director Devin Graham told a local news outlet, I personally don't want to see an untrained chaplain telling my child or my children they are unworthy or to stigmatize them, which I think is a fair criticism because if you're untrained and you think God is the answer to everything, what do you do when a kid says, no, I don't believe in this shit? Like, of course you're going to say there's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, this is not Republicans only, because in the House version of this Florida bill. There are two conservative Democrats who are basically functional Republicans who have co-sponsored this bill. The Senate version just got approved by the Education Committee. The only thing that was removed in their version that was passed was the part that forced districts to vote on it. They got rid of that, which is nice, but also the Senate's version is still bad. In fact, get this. This is another example of a Democrat who knows what she's talking about saying this is a bad bill. Democratic Senator Rosalind Osgood, who has a master's degree in divinity, is a former Broward County School Board member and served as chaplain for the Fort Lauderdale Police Department, voted against the bill.
Wow.
Yeah. She said it puts school districts in a position that takes their attention away from education. Mm-hmm. Now the school board is focused on chaplaincy instead of education. She also warned about widely different interpretations of religious beliefs among Christians, such as Baptist organizations that don't want women being pastors, people using religion divisively. I mean, kudos to her. Again, this is the sort of bill you file when you want to serve red meat to a conservative Christian base, not when you want to help students. And for all the GOP talk of we need better mental health care, which is what they say after every school shooting, they're now advancing a bill that would replace professionals best suited to deal with mental health with untrained religious people who don't know the first thing about the subject. It hurts the students who would need the help the most.
Yeah. Florida is ranked 42 in education.
Climbing up the ladder there.
I truly, though, I almost got fooled because I put Florida school rankings. And I found a thing that says that, where did it go?
I don't know, but Satanists could also register as a chaplain
Florida,
in any of
where
these
Florida
districts.
School just ranks in, oh, never mind. Go ahead. All right. I just saw a thing that was stupid.
There's nothing stopping Satanists from jumping in, from humanist chaplains from jumping into the fray here. The difference is these groups actually want to help students, so they're not trying to do this. It's the Christian chaplains who want access to kids that people should be worried about a lot more.
Yeah, that's wild.
So I know today's episode has a lot of the same story repeated, but what can I say? Republicans are just doing the same thing over and over. I don't know what to do. So there you go. I think I'm done for now.
Okay. I'm reading about the new, like, there's some places say Florida is number one in education, but I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, I want to know the metrics for that
one. Yeah, like, I saw something that was, like, number one in educational freedom is what I saw. I was trying to find again.
According to the list Ron DeSantis pulled out of his ass.
Here
you go.
I found it. FLGov. Today's edition recognized Florida ranked number one in the nation for education by News and World Report.
U.S. News is not a legit publication. We don't have to cite them for anything.
No, it's just one of those things of like, why do you say number one? What does that mean to you?
Means
but
nothing.
Maybe I shouldn't be doing research live on mic.
Yeah, right?
I want to go to bed.
What are we talking about in the bonus?
Oh, fuck.
We're talking about Tace Taylor.
Yeah, I feel like a lot is going on with Taylor Swift, and I'm just frustrated with people acting like she's the big bad in the world right now. And like, it's just short-sighted and misogynistic. And then, I don't know, I'm reading Killers of the Flower Moon. Maybe I'll talk, I don't know. Did I see any movies? I saw Donnie Darko the other night for the second time. End of list. I want to go to bed.
Excellent. All right, we'll see you all next week.
Bye, sorry.